Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Ernie Velveeta cares. He cares for the community. He cares about his friends. He cares about children. He cares about animals. Even ugly ones. Ernie Velveeta, taking the time to care about you.
People by Velveeta for Congress!
Ernie Velveeta says he cares about the community.
Fact.
He never says which community he's referring to. Ernie Velveeta says he cares about his friends.
Fact.
What about Gregory Mills, whom he hasn't called since the fourth grade? Ernie Velveeta claims to care about children.
Fact.
Many child molesters say the same thing. Ernie Velveeta says he cares about animals.
Fact.
Tell that to the cow he was slicing last Saturday night at a steakhouse. Does Ernie Velveeta really care for us?
Fact.
No.
Paper by Paul Massey for Congress.
Harold Flem Lasky. A police record a mile long. Theft, carjacking, sexual assault, rape, murder. Do you want someone involved in a murder investigation representing you? Ernie Velveeta. Unlike some other politicians, he's not a murderer.
People, my friends, are Ernie Velveeta.
Hey man, you watching the game?
Which game? The baseball game or the game being perpetrated on voters by Ernie Velveeta?
Ernie Velveeta? What do you mean?
Have you seen his latest attack ad? He claims that Harold Flem Lasky had a police record a mile long and that he was involved in murder and rape investigations.
Harold Flem Lasky was involved in murder and rape investigations?
Of course he was. Harold Flem Lasky's a former police officer who was investigating those crimes, not committing them.
You know, these misleading attacks have got to stop. As does Ernie Velveeta's addiction to heroin.
Damn straight, yo.
People, my friends, are Harold Flem Lasky.
Harold Flem Lasky, in his own words. The following is actual audio from the latest Flem Lasky campaign commercial.
Harold Flem Lasky was involved in murder and rape investigations?
Of course he was.
Don't elect a murdering rapist.
Came home and family members of Ernie Velveeta.
Flem Lasky.
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 Velveeta.
Paid for by second cousins of Harold Flem Lasky.
Your skin is burning. You can't see. Your heart explodes. You just voted for Harold Flem Lasky. People who vote for Harold Flem Lasky die.
Paper by Ernie Velveeta laundering money for the friends of Harold Flem Lasky.
Stu Does America.
You can go to the YouTube page if you'd like to see those Flem Lasky Velveeta commercials. I don't know who to vote for in that race, honestly. It's very close. BlazeTV.com/Stu to subscribe to Blaze TV. We're going to have great election coverage on election night. Maybe we'll even give you the outcome of the Flem Lasky Velveeta race. Use the promo code Stu to save $10. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate it. If you'd like the video right now, make sure to follow as well and click the little bell. Rob Eno is going to be here in a little bit to tell us about the attack on Pelosi's husband and go over some of the election stuff. Chuck Schumer has the old hot mic treatment while talking to Joe Biden. But we start by doing Elon's revenge. Oh, Twitter. Twitter was such a happy place. Everyone loved it there. It was the most wonderful experience, just going to work there every day. It was basically a party. And then Elon Musk showed up. Let me give you a little historical artifact here about what it was like before Elon showed up. This is from a real Twitter employee who wanted to let you know what it's like for a millennial to work at Twitter.
Welcome to a day in my life as a Twitter employee. So this past week, went to SF for the first time at a Twitter office, badged in. Honestly, took a moment to just soak everything in. What a blessing. Also started my morning off with an iced matcha from the Perch. Then I had a meeting, so quickly scheduled one of these little pod rooms, which were so cool. They're literally noise canceling. Took my meeting, got ready for lunch. Look how delicious this food looks. Oh my goodness, I was so overwhelmed. Then made my way down to this log cabin area. I don't know what this is, but it was really cool. Played some foosball with my friends to kind of unwind a bit. Also found this really cool meditation room that I thought was super neat. I didn't do any yoga, but they have this yoga room if you are a yogi, so also thought that was really cool. Had a couple more meetings in the afternoon, had a ton of projects that we needed to knock out. Say hey to my teammates. Went to the library to kind of get some more work done. Obviously had to have our afternoon coffee, so made some espresso. And then before leaving for the day, had some red wine that's on tap. Went up to the rooftop and just honestly enjoyed the beautiful weather. So awesome trip.
There you go. It's just that easy. What a wonderful day of work. Because there's a lot of work going on there. Do you notice when she was clocking in for the meeting that the entire day of the meeting schedule was just open? That might be a problem here. You also might notice that that video was posted on TikTok, which you'd think maybe a Twitter employee would post it on Twitter. I don't know. Look, it's okay to have a place where you work that you actually like, but like 80% of her day was spent eating food and drinking expensive coffee. This is the tech world, I suppose, the world that we're supposed to have, where every liberal idea comes true and you are coddled like a four-year-old your entire day at work. Well, I think that's going to change a little bit with Elon coming in, and he's finally going to get his revenge. Now, his revenge was expensive, I will say. $44 billion worth of revenge. But he didn't like the way the site was going. He thought it had real potential. And so he ponied up a bunch of his own cash and some other people's, other investors' cash, and has now taken over Twitter. We will completely ignore his sink pun as he walked in and just erase that from our memories and move on to look the outlook here for Twitter as we go forward. Musk begins his Twitter ownership with the firings and gives a tweet to describe that. The bird is freed. He's freed the bird, everybody. Twitter employees in the dark as Elon Musk purges top executives. Yes, he walked in with a sink. We were supposed to forget about that. Then he walks in and just started firing people like crazy. A bunch of executives are out. He's going to be taking over and making some real changes. And that's one of the things that's interesting. He tweeted, "Let the good times roll." And just to show that the site sucks, it gave that a spoiler alert somehow. I don't know what that means. I've never seen that alert before, but somehow that was a spoiler alert, letting the good times roll. This, of course, did not make people happy on the left. We'll get to that in a second. But I think it's important to take a second here to focus on the company as a whole. Twitter is often used in a situation where we talk about a political debate. What is its role as the public town square in our country? First of all, it's not a public town. It's a private company. It's not a public town square. I hate that whole thing. I get why people say it. Because they want there to be restrictions and laws on it, and some of those might be viable, but it's not. If that's our public town square, we should just blow the planet up. It's the worst place on Earth. It's already a hellscape, so I don't know why anyone would want to make that our public town square. It's not our public town square. It's a place where people go, tweet porn, make anti-Semitic jokes,
and then get people kicked off whenever they don't agree with them. That's basically what it is. I don't know if that's the public square you want, I suppose. Hopefully Elon will be fixing that just a little bit. But bigger than that is every single news story you watch, every single pop culture moment, every single celebrity, every single example you can come up with, sports, music, acting, news, politicians, everybody has a Twitter account. And they all tweet from it all the time. And every time a new story is written, they include tweets. There has never been a company in the history of mankind that has received more free advertising than Twitter. It is treated as if it is the center of our entire universe, even though a very small percentage of people actually use it. In fact, we've done a whole show on this. I don't remember what the heck, Stu Does Twitter, maybe? You could search for that. I don't remember what the name of it was. But basically, we went through all the ways that people use this. And when you're talking about people who are tweeting often about politics, it's like one half of one quarter of one eighth of 1/16 percent. It's like nobody does it. All the people you know on Twitter and follow and hear about all the time, those people are don't even, they're barely a tiny shred of the population that actually do this. So it's important to understand where Twitter is and should be in our landscape. It shouldn't be as talked about as it is. I understand that the Elon Musk thing is a big deal. I know that a lot of people care about it. Honestly, I'm not sure I'm one of them. You know, I think the thing that you need to understand with Twitter is if you are an investor in Twitter, Elon Musk taking it over is probably a really good thing. Outside of that, I mean, I think he'll do a good job and make the site a little bit better as far as free speech goes. I don't expect it to be perfect, though. I don't expect that every single banning or censoring incident that you don't like is going to go away. It's probably not true. He's even kind of said it's not going to be true. What you can expect, I think, is to make the site better, make it more user friendly. Some of the features that you might want might be added to Twitter. Also, if you're an investor, you'll probably make a lot of money because he's pretty good with these companies and he's pretty good at identifying where weaknesses are and improving them. So you have that. But of course, that's not what the left is looking like at all. They're basically saying, oh my God, this is the end of the world. Taylor Lorenz, who might be the single worst person on Twitter, tweeted this: it's like the gates of hell opened on this site tonight. And I hope Elon Musk sues her for that, because that is just straight out slander. The gates of hell have been open on Twitter for a really long time. So it did not happen that night. It's been going on for years and years and years. Every day since Taylor got there, at least, we know the gates of hell have been open. Mike Redman, he's from UpRocks, says, I don't think any of us are prepared for how quickly this whole site is about to go down. It's a miracle flames aren't shooting out of it already. Really? It's just so ridiculous. Jeff Jarvis is a professor. The sun is dark. Good God almighty. Elon Musk completes Twitter takeover and fires top executives. Dan Rather, who apparently still kicking it. And good. I'm glad he's still around. He has not been relevant in a very long time, but apparently he's on Twitter and remembers some songs from 40 years ago. He says, with this Twitter thing maybe changing considerably, a question I am asking, should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, there will be double. So come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Of course, he didn't actually type that himself. It was forged. That's just the way Dan Rather operates. Look, the truth is that Elon Musk will make Twitter better. He will. It will move closer to the site that users actually want. Its business will improve. People won't be as shadow banned as often, we know that. Normal basic truths about lives will be able to be said without massive consequences. But Elon Musk cannot solve the problem we have with Twitter and other social media for that matter. That's our problem. We are psychotically addicted to all of this crap, and it needs to stop. Elon Musk is not going to make your neighbor smarter. Elon Musk is not going to make your neighbor any less of an aggressive a-hole online. That's not going to happen. Elon Musk is not going to make your neighbor prioritize real life rather than Twitter. That's just not how this works. Look at the way people are talking about this, as if either Elon Musk is going to ruin their lives or save their lives. It's a freaking website. It's an app. Get over it. If he decides to take every tweet, Everyone wants to post and auto-translate them to Swahili so that no one in America can even read them. It shouldn't matter. What kind of a country do we have if we are so inherently violated by the algorithmic changes of a website that we can't even seem to handle it? If we can't deal with short messages posted mostly by people that we don't know, that are skeptical of the election or vaccines or the war or the moon landing, what kind of people are we? Are we this pathetic? And if we can't deal with a thought that is throttled or shadow banned or whatever, no matter how brilliant it is, you put it out there, you think it's the best tweet ever, and it gets throttled. If you can't deal with that, what kind of people are we? It's completely unfair to censor or deplatform one side of the aisle and not the other. But perhaps, I'm just throwing this out there, perhaps the right answer is that we all deplatform ourselves. If you want your skin to look years younger, Genucell Skincare is the way to go. Awesome products. That's April from Rockport, Illinois. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is easy to look years and years younger with Genucell. Mm-hmm. Genucell is the best in skincare. You can celebrate the holidays early with Genucell's most popular package at 70% off at Genucell.com right now. Treat yourself to the only skincare products you'll ever need. And this is also a fantastic gift as well as we get towards the holidays. Genucell is so confident you'll love your look. Every Genucell order has a 120-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, every most popular package has all sorts of really, really cool Genucell correcting serum, and that's free. Genucell has delighted, happy customers for years by treating tens of millions of everyday skin problems like wrinkles, dark spots, dry skin, sagging jawline, facial redness, and even those annoying bags and puffiness for men and women just like you. And if you're buying it for someone else, you don't have to tell them, hey, I see all your bags and puffiness there. You need just give it. It's the best in skincare. They're going to like it anyway, whether they have bags and puffiness and wrinkles or not. And with its immediate effects, Genucell guarantees results in as little as 12 hours or your money back. Genucell.com/stew is the place to go to get your most popular package. It includes a complimentary gift set plus free express shipping. Genucell.com/stew. It's Genucell.com/stew.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
Rob Eno is here. He's a resident media critic for Blaze TV, and we welcome him in. Rob, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, let's talk elections.
All right.
We're just over a week away. We have a lot going on. The Senate, I want to get your take on the overall Senate first, but let's look at a couple of these races first of all. Give me something about Nevada. This is one we have not talked an awful lot about. It seems to me to be pretty darn close. You've got the Democratic incumbent there, Cortez Masto, going against Adam Laxalt. And also, there's a close gubernatorial race there, too. Can you give us a picture of what we're looking at in Nevada?
What I think you're seeing is Hispanics moving towards the Republican Party, which you're seeing in a bunch of places in the United States. And a lot of it has to do with Hispanics, like a lot of the African-American community, are very socially conservative, right? And they don't buy this woke nonsense. And, you know, Nevada over the past few years has been hit harder by the downturns. I mean, all of these places that closed travel hurt Nevada. Yeah. Nevada is, like Florida, a mainly tourist-based economy, right? Yeah. I mean, that is what the Las Vegas and even up in Tahoe and Reno and that area, they're a tourist-based economy. And they got hammered when COVID hit and all the lockdowns hit. So I think that those two things, you're seeing a movement in both of those are going to go Republican. I mean, Laxalt has been up in poll after poll. And as we know, the polls skew a little bit Democratic, even now.
Often.
And, you know, he's outright winning in most of the polls in that state.
I was in Nevada, I guess it was last year, maybe last summer. I remember there was football. We were watching football, so it had to be a little bit later in the year. And I was shocked, honestly, when I got there to find out they still had an indoor mask mandate in Las Vegas. you know, people, now it was not really enforced. It really was a lot different than you saw in, you know, like you'd see in you know, Washington, D.C. or something. But this had to have killed this economy. And the people who are casting their votes now, this is their first time to speak out about how that was handled.
You're absolutely right. And I think that that's what it is, that this economy is what the Democrats have done to us since COVID.
It should
and
be.
Then all the, you know, and I think that that's what it really is.
I think,
and
especially people, on the gubernatorial side, like that. Yeah. These are the executives that made choices about your freedom during the last couple of years. This is the time to make your voice heard.
Absolutely, and I think that that's exactly what you're going to see.
Okay, and you think Laxalt will win?
I mean, yes,
he has been up in the polls. The thing about Nevada that's a little different than some of the other states that we're discussing is it is a purple state. Maybe it even leans a little blue fundamentally. As you mentioned, large minority populations. So the fundamentals, you wonder if you're not worried about those fundamentals undercutting the vote for Laxalt.
I don't think so. I think people are that upset. And it's school things. It's all of the things that are nationally driving this wave. And I think that people in Nevada wake up like you and I wake up and say, we can't buy the same amount of stuff that we used to. You know, a grocery, I don't know if you, when you go to the grocery store, I use the little basket. I don't have a family, so I use the little basket.
Yeah.
And that little basket's like $100 now. Like the top of the little basket.
It's
like $100. It's insane.
Is there ever a reason to take the little basket? I mean, you could just fill up the cart with less stuff and still have wheels and not have to carry it.
I can, but it's still, I don't use the hand basket. I use the little cart.
Oh, okay, the little cart.
Little cart.
Okay,
little cart.
I just don't understand the basket people. If you're one of these basket people, what are you doing? You got a basket, it's on wheels. You can just push it around. Is the small basket? Is it the large basket? That's fine. You make that call, but why carry around a basket the entire time? I just don't understand it. Totally side.
It's point. Cardio.
I guess you get the cardio. I would just say any candidate that would support banning those baskets, I'm on your team. I'll donate to you right now. Let's go over to Michigan. Michigan's another one, you know, it hasn't been at the top of the profile nationally, but a really important race, particularly for the gubernatorial seat there.
Right, and Whitmer's self-imploded, right? She's reminded people why they were upset with her during COVID, especially in the past couple of debates. Her and Hochul, the best thing that happened was Fetterman completely blowing up because it's kind of hidden nationally what's been happening there. And Tudor Dixon is pushing the race. And in Michigan, a lot of it has to do with the COVID stuff, but a lot of it has to do with parental rights. It's the parental right thing that, you know, that's what happened in Virginia, right? Nobody thought that Virginia was going to go Republican for the gubernatorial candidate, and it was the parental rights, just and that's Hispanics, it's African Americans, it's all these
it's
people.
Everybody.
Poor African Americans don't want their kids being taught that gender reassignment surgery is okay, and have books in their library, you know, teaching 4 to 10 year olds how to have sex, right? They don't want those things in their library.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they want, and the left is making it look like when they talk about book bannings that we're banning, you know, Anne Frank's diary or something like that. And so they're trying to ban explicit sexual material from being available to children. And I think that that's the sort of thing that's going to happen. I have a friend in California. She actually writes for Red State. I don't know if she still is or if she's on hiatus. Kira Davis, who's running for school board in the Los Angeles Unified School District as a conservative. And she probably has she's an African-American woman, probably has a good chance of winning this race because parents are that upset.
And we've seen that happen in San Francisco. We've seen it happen in Maryland. We've seen it all over the country. Let's go over to Herschel Walker in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is Georgia at this point is a purple state, right?
Yeah.
It really is. And even though I think the fundamentals there are a little bit different, maybe a little bit more conservative leaning, Walker's had his issues. He's been accused of all these things. I think he's joked about it, basically. I think he's handled them pretty well. Where do you see that race?
I see that race go to Walker. Absolutely. At this point in time, if that didn't hurt him 2 weeks ago, the second...
Oh, that was ridiculous.
The second one's not going to hurt either.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that I was waiting for that first poll, like I think you were, and that you had a special right after that came out. You were talking about one of your election updates. And it's really, I was waiting for those polls, and the polls are starting to show Walker pulling away with it, which are really interesting to me that's happening. But I think, again, it's fundamental. People are sick of what they're spending at the gas station. They're sick of what they're spending. And they remember that the guy might have tweeted bad, but things were a lot better. And I think you're seeing that across places. And I think you're not going to see, well, maybe Georgia might be different because you have two African-American candidates, but across the country, I think you're going to see lower African-American turnout. That's why one of the reasons Trump won in 2016 is the record African-American turnout for Obama's two elections wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see that in Georgia again. And I think that last election was an anomaly. And I think that you're going to see that come apart. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one to watch. I think Georgia, there's a good chance there. You know, let's go to the general Senate here for a second, because, you know, as we get closer to the election, I think the polls are moving the right way for the way that I want. I think, you know, we're at a point now where Republicans have, I would consider them the favorites to take over the Senate at this point. I know our friend Steve Dace is even more optimistic.
He's going super long.
Where is he now?
He's at 55.
55?
I'm at 54.
54. So
I'm at 54.
You're yes on New Hampshire for Republicans.
I'm yes on New Hampshire.
Not on Colorado? Is that
not,
where you're at?
Not on Colorado. I've not gone there yet. But if this continues to be a wave election, I could see Colorado switch. I mean, Colorado has recently had Republican senators. Colorado is a purple state. Because it's got a lot of mountain areas.
It's trended blue.
But it's got a lot of mountain areas and things like that. But it's trended blue because
Cory Gardner was there, a Republican, not that long ago.
Right.
Before he banned birth control in that famous commercial. The next one after Colorado is Washington, I think, right?
Yeah, and then that's the stretch. The Washington's the stretch.
Washington, then Connecticut.
And then Connecticut. Those are super stretches.
What you're going to see
in the Northeast is you're going to see a heck of a lot more Republican congressmen.
Yeah,
which you haven't seen. You're going to see one in Rhode Island. Rhode Island 2, Fung. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's way up, and he's been a mayor in the biggest city in that district. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see Fung. You're going to see maybe one or two in Connecticut. I think Connecticut 5 is one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And then that northern, I think Poliquin is going to retake his seat. And I think you're going to see one of the New Hampshire seats.
I'm really interested to see Maya Flores here in Texas as well.
Right.
Because that is, going back to what you were saying about Nevada, the Hispanic movement toward Republicans seems really clear. She won this district, but that was before it was redrawn. It's been redrawn to be harder for her to win.
Right.
If she can win after all of this, it's really remarkable.
Yeah, and we'll know that probably midnight. Not midnight, but mid the election special in a couple weeks that we have here at Blaze TV. We'll know that, and that'll be a canary in the coal mine, right? So will, I think, one of the New Hampshire ones, or if something happens in places that we don't think on the House, I think that's how you're going to see if it's a wave year. And then I think how close states are, like Maryland and Massachusetts, where they're predicting 20-point victories for the Democrats, right? Or 30-point victories. If those are 10-point victories, I mean, that's going to be a bad vibe for the rest of the nation.
Well, if you think about the one that keeps popping into my head is not even Virginia as much as New Jersey, which should have been a blowout. It's right. Freaking New Jersey. And Phil Murphy should have lost, but almost did.
Right.
And is that possible that we see that? What's the race that you think could be, if you had to take like a long shot, like what's the one that you're not going to commit to fully, but you think could be a surprise?
LePage in Maine. Paul LePage, my French Canadian brother, retaking that, retaking that governorship.
He was governor before.
Mm-hmm. Lost it four years ago during that 2018 wave that the Democrats had. I think he moved to Florida for a couple of years because he's like, I'm done with this, and then he went back to Maine.
It's really cold there.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
Northern Maine, there's potatoes and there's snow. And
yeah,
that's about it.
That's about it.
And maybe a couple lobsters.
LePage, though, in the polls. Well behind.
Well, down by like 11 points, you know, but
that's, you know, you're
that's
within striking distance.
Distance.
Moving,
it's not a 30 point difference
like
Massachusetts or Maryland is or places like that.
It's interesting, too, to see both Maryland and Massachusetts on the gubernatorial side who had, again, what I would consider very squishy Republicans, had Republican governors who were very popular in their states. And neither one of them is even considering the Republican, it seems, this time.
Right. And I mean, Charlie Baker, friend of mine, I've made money off of doing things for his campaign in the past. Mm. But he governed as a left-leaning centrist in a way.
Sure.
He was very good on some of the COVID stuff. He tried to stop he's like, I can't stop you from going around and walking in the street, and I can't stop you from going to a store. Those are not things that the government can do during COVID. So he has somewhat of a libertarian streak, but he's also a very process-oriented guy. He's a technocrat, and that, you know, some of the technocratic things that he's done kind of leans him a little bit left.
And then Hogan in Maryland, kind of the same story.
Yeah.
But, like, it's interesting that those states would have a period they would consider to be successful, right, and then not even consider to go back to that same party. It's just some people are just, I think, like, it's the Fetterman thing, right? Someone said this, and it's stuck in my head since they said it. The amount of pure partisanship required to vote for John Fetterman after watching that has to be studied in intellectual hierarchy for years to come. John Fetterman is clearly not able to do this job. Clearly. So, like, what part of your brain switches off to not be able to acknowledge that?
Well, you don't want to be an ableist. I mean, the worst thing is to be called an ist.
Right. You don't want to be an
ist.
Let me ask you this. If a candidate was paralyzed and mute, unable to communicate in any way, and could not move to even give sign language, would that be okay? Would the Democrats still come out and say it was completely fine? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, I do too.
With no ability to communicate any of their policy positions, no ability to speak, no ability to understand anything, they're deaf to.
Well, he can blink. Yeah, come on. He can blink twice for a yes and blink once for a no.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
So true. I hated to be. Wow, that was really unfair of me. Rob Eno, resident media critic for Blaze TV. Be sure to follow him on all social media, of course. And don't miss anything that he puts out, as well as the Blaze TV election special he mentioned, blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu. You'll save $10. Rob, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
You know, buying or selling a home is already one of the most stressful things you can do, and it can be 10 times worse if you're not working with the right agent. Generally speaking, our homes are our biggest investment, and that's a lot of responsibility. You need an agent that can step in and take control of something like that. That's why you always got to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. A lot of people moving from blue states to red states. If you're making that move, you might not know anyone in the new red state. Well, we first of all welcome you, of course, with open arms. And secondly, encourage you to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. You'll get some, just give them some basic info. They will connect you with the best agent in your town. It's realestateagentsitrust.com, a Glenn Beck company, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Just an incredibly disturbing story that developed last night into today as someone went to Nancy Pelosi's house and wound up breaking into the house and beating her husband, Paul Pelosi. Just a terrible, terrible story. He went to the hospital. Looks like he's going to be okay. At least those are the initial reports. Now, of course, that is what they said right after the John Fetterman thing, too. Everything's going to be fine. So hopefully that's actually accurate in this case. But the person who broke in apparently broke through some glass, came in, said, "Where's Nancy? I'm waiting for Nancy." There was some sort of fight. Police were called. I guess the police showed up while the actual assault was still going on. They took the hammer and started hitting Paul Pelosi with it. Really disturbing stuff. Now, of course, immediately everybody on Twitter was saying, "Oh, this right-wing extremist must have done this. You know, this is the result of January 6th and blah, 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 blah." It's really, really difficult we don't know all the facts yet, and it's important to understand. But what we know so far is that this guy was apparently some sort of nudist protester, pro-Castro nudist protester from many, many years ago. He married a famous nudist, which I didn't know there are famous nudists. I knew there were porn stars, but I didn't know there was famous nudists. Apparently, that's a California thing. Married a famous nudist, had a blog that he maintained. A long time ago, it was really, really far left-wing stuff. Lately, it's been kind of all over the board. Some stuff, you know, election stolen, maybe some stuff in there. Some anti-vaccine stuff. Some random incoherent stuff. A lot of anti-Semitism mixed in there, which isn't a huge surprise when you're talking about a nut job. It's kind of a weird profile of a person, but. I think both sides are going to be able to both claim and deny them from their side. So I don't think there's a huge political side to this. There is the side, though, that is just insane that someone who is married to the Speaker of the House is just at their house with no security at all. It's just inexplicable to me. And this time that that can be going on. Apparently, this street is so wealthy, as you'd expect, with Nancy Pelosi living on it, that they have a private security company that also backs up the police. So it's hard to know exactly what went wrong here. This is the exact type of neighborhood that this stuff's not supposed to happen. Now, San Francisco has turned into a hellhole with policies that have been, generally speaking, promoted by people like Nancy Pelosi. But this particular area isn't your crappy area of San Francisco where you're seeing meth heads on the corner every day. This is a very nice area, as you'd expect. So for something like this to happen, it's pretty significant. So it does seem like they were specifically targeted in this attack, but the political motivation seems to be all over the board. More next week when we learn a little bit more on this story. You know, I think it's important not to just jump the gun and make pronouncements. We don't know everything about this. But as we do, we'll keep you updated. The left has tried to make this particular election about abortion. They've decided, hey, you know, we can talk about that. Everyone's worried about that. And you know, it's really like a tactic I don't like in some ways, because I think it's too important an issue to make some dumb political thing. But on the other hand, I kind of don't mind it. I kind of don't mind the fact that they're talking about it more. I hope more attention gets drawn to this issue. Because every time you go through a situation where you are talking about life, I think it's important. I think it's important that people can kind of see the truth about issues like this. Almost one out of every five Americans never have a chance to live outside the womb. That's why preborn exists. I'm hoping to be able to go to one of their clinics here in Texas soon, because they're going to just show us all the work that they do. And, you know, people talk about the ultrasounds. They give ultrasounds to pregnant women. And most of the women who see the ultrasound or hear the ultrasound, hear the heart beating, want to have the baby and not abort the baby, which is great. But it's also like they are supporting these families long after birth with things like diapers and car seats and counseling and maternity clothes and baby clothes and all that stuff. It's all free of charge. It's a fantastic organization. They're trying to help babies be born. What better cause could there possibly be than that? Check it out at preborn.com. Preborn.com/Stu is the place to go to get involved. You know, if you can help save babies' lives, why wouldn't you want to be involved with something like that? You can donate by dialing #250 and say the keyword baby. It's #250. The keyword is baby, or go to their website, preborn.com/Stu. There's Donald Trump on the golf course. You think Biden could do that? I don't think so. kind of a funny moment from the president. It's going to be interesting to see what happens after this election. It could be very soon after that Donald Trump is announcing he's going to be running for president. We will see. You know, one of the conversations behind the scenes was, do you announce even before this election to get out ahead of people like Ron DeSantis, who looks like he's on his way to a very big win in Florida? I mean, some of these polls are showing up 14 points. If he wins that by 14 points, it really strengthens his argument to be the candidate, whether Trump runs or not. One of the arguments that the Trump camp is making behind the scenes is, do we just jump out ahead of him? And it would be very strange for DeSantis to win the gubernatorial race and then like 2 weeks later announce he's running for president. So there's a window there where Trump can kind of be the only one in the field, and it will clear most of the field. We talked to Rand Paul, who this is, you know, a few months ago. And I said, hey, you know, you're thinking about running for president. And he said, well, it looks like Trump's going to get in. So if Trump's in, you know, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's his power in this party right now. Really, anybody, if he runs, everybody pretty much will clear the field, with the exception of possibly DeSantis and maybe someone kind of from the Liz Cheney, you know, wing as a protest candidate or something. We will see how that goes. Chuck Schumer caught on a open mic here from cameras really nearby. I don't know why he thought he would be heard here, but this is what he was telling Joe Biden when he was talking about the election prospects for Democrats.
It looks like.
Yeah. So that's good. And
So I know it's hard to hear. Let me give you a little quick translation. He said they're doing well in Nevada, basically. It looks like the debate in Pennsylvania didn't hurt us too much, and that's good, he says. And then he said also the state we're in trouble here. It looks like Georgia. Looks like I can't believe they're going to go with Herschel Walker. So this is what they're seeing indoors. The only thing I would caution a little bit on this is people are like, oh, that's what Chuck Schumer really believes. You have to understand Chuck Schumer doesn't really believe anything. Chuck Schumer is just as much a big fat liar when he's talking personally as he is in front of cameras. So really, you can't learn anything from Chuck Schumer. He's just constantly lying. Also, young voters seeming to be missing in action as Dem base flocks to vote early. So the big early vote thing that the Democrats were hoping for is going on. The problem is they're looking at the profiles of these people and they're saying the young people don't seem to be showing up. They obviously need young people to show up in this election. And if they don't, they're screwed. And this is what's seeming to show up in the polls. Again, I'm pretty optimistic at this point for Republicans' chances, certainly in the House and I think in the Senate as well. They got a good chance to pull this off. We'll probably do an election update maybe on Tuesday, 1 week out from the election, and give you where we stand with both the Senate and gubernatorial races. We'll give you that to you next week. Back in a second. Stomach's rumbling and you don't know what to eat? Grab a snack that can't be beat. These yummy poppers are as tasty as they get, with a light, crunchy texture that you'll never forget. Down for jalapeno cheese? Now we're talking. Open this bag and let your day be poppin'. That's a poem from Chester Dengus. Chester Cheetah. Hi, I'm Dr. Steve Brule. This is a new product on Stu Eats America. Are you ready for it? New product on the market right now. Chester's Poppers Jalapeno Cheese Whirls flavored. Or you could also say jalapeno flavored cheese whirls. So I guess the cheese whirls, is that an existing product and they're just dumping the jalapenos? Look, I'm for it. I support Chester. Chester, unfortunately, not running for office, but I would vote for him if he were. Now, by the way, this is Stu Eats America. We grade these products, snack foods for you to get through your weekend between an A and an F, the old school sort of grading platform, if you remember from your days of getting D's and F's. Smell, I would not say, is appetizing. I'm going to be honest with you. Not a great smell. Okay, Chester Cheetah's jalapeno popper thingies. Let's try them out. Okay, hold on. Let me try another one. Okay, the smell's not good. I don't know what the smell is. And it's I think I got these at like Dollar Tree or something. So maybe there's a little bit, maybe they're around for a little while. They taste pretty good though. They have a little bit of a kick, not a huge one. They're not overly cheesy like you'd expect a Cheeto to be. You know, they're a little bit light on the cheese. They're okay. Now there is for any of you Philly people out there, Hers has an incredible jalapeno cheese curl. But it's an A product for me. And the honey cheese curls are an A-plus product. Incredible. This one, edible. Could I eat a whole bag of these? Yes. Will I eat this whole bag? Yes. I'll give this one a C-plus for Chester's Poppers Jalapeno Cheese Whirls flavored. No poem for this next one. And I don't know what the heck it is. I got to be honest with you. I don't understand this one at all. It is a new Coca-Cola flavor. It is called Zero Sugar Soul Blast. Now that sounds like an assault. What are they doing to my soul? Bleach, whoever Bleach is, I hope it's not like Clorox, but Bleach and Coca-Cola have collaborated on a limited edition Soul Blast flavor to entice fans' taste buds when Thousand Year Blood War premieres. What is this? What kind of, why are you partnering with someone who's having a Thousand Year Blood War? I don't know. But let's give it a shot. What is this supposed to taste like? Do we know? Maybe I should just be surprised by it. It has a cool little like anime figure on it. And I guess that's probably who we're talking about. And it's Japanese, I think. It's all the ingredients back here are Japanese. This just says poison in Japanese. Okay, here we go. I wouldn't say the flavor profile is particularly up front. It's not very strong. It doesn't taste that much different than normal Coke Zero, to be frank with you. It has a little bit of a fruity flavor to it. I can't necessarily identify what it is. And when I do, people usually make fun of me. But I'm trying to find out if it actually says. I'm just going to have to assume it's blood. I mean, I've never myself drank blood. So I'm going to have to assume it's a blood war product. It's a soul blast is the name of it. I'm going to have to assume this is what the blood directly taken from a soul tastes like. Mixed with Coke Zero. And on that factor, the Coke Zero is pretty good, but I'll give this one only a C. I don't see much improvement here. In fact, it's a little bit worse than normal Coke Zero. There you go. Stu Eats America. We'll see you Monday. Only 1 week to the election.